الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى من أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا صدق الله العظيم. After Iman, the greatest blessing a person can desire, aspire, long for is the blessing of ease. The word ease sounds so simple that we don't seem to be appreciating the word ease fully. This hadith speaks about the best dua that is to be made after Iman. And again, the dua for ease. Al-afwa wal-afiyah. Forgiveness and ease. There must have been some dynamic reason for a great luminary and a revivalist of his time, Murad Thamli Rahmatullah Alayh, for reciting this dua very, very, very often. Al-afwa wal-afiyah. Forgiveness and ease. Forgiveness and ease. So when we talk about ease, we are talking of ease with a full color. Not just a temporary cover for a selected thing, not for one matter or the other, but across the board, ease. So ease is such a comprehensive word. It will cover every dimension, every perspective of life. From birth to death and beyond death. And ease is not just visual ease, but inner ease as well. Complete ease. When I was much younger, so there was one chacha that was quite jovial. The youngsters used to talk to him. Youngsters, 10, 12 years of age, you see a chacha that's a little bit jolly, so everybody takes advantage around him. He was full of humor, joke. And the youngsters took advantage over him as well. So they asked him questions that they were not supposed to be asking. So they asked him once, Chacha, but you know, you did an excellent thing in your life. He knew exactly what they were referring to. So he says, you were referring to me about my marriage. He picked up what they were talking about. He's old, so his hair is not whitened with the sun. Experience. So he says to those youngsters, Bhai, mara jabhi bhool ni kar jo. Don't make a mistake like me. Learn from my mistakes, but don't make a mistake like me. I got married for the white complexion, for the blue eyes, for the twang, the American accent, got married. She was educated, so bringing in a lot of money. So there were multiple factors for me choosing this girl in my life. But then the marital life starts and commences. Then I realized that she was just there for the show. What is life about? What is it to bring about children, to have a direction, to be relating with my immediate family, extended family, to take care of the home, to take care of the children, give them a direction? She didn't know anything. Yes, she was there for the show, for the twang she was there, for creating an impression she was there. But what is making up a home, giving a direction, a comprehensive plan? She didn't have it at all. Now I've got these children, one, two children from her, and they are dealing with, you see it. And largely it's because of this, of the choice that I made. Around that time, my parents were counseling me, advising me, but I was young, strong. So things that had met my eye, I was impressed with that. And they were talking about a lot of things that you must look at: compatibility, look at understanding, look at deen, look at all these things here before you make this type of a decision. Being the only son, so they had just given in to what I had demanded. But now after 10, 15 years of marriage, now I realize the mistake that I've made, and I can't reverse it because I've got two children. But I can see now that the children are becoming delinquent, and she's a waste of time. She doesn't know how to talk to people, how to get along with my immediate family, my extended family. She doesn't know anything about it. It was just the looks that had overwhelmed me and had made this decision. Now 15 years later, now I got these regrets. This is the secret of deen, the mystery of deen. As though Nabi Sam is telling us, just do it and you will realize the good of it later on. Now you may not see excitement, you may not see a lot of thrill, but in time to come you will see everything. Just give time a chance and you will see things. But because it is a microwave zamana, you want to see things immediately. It must happen. It must happen straight away. And that's not the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Things happen, but things happen gradually, gracefully. Be patient and you will have things working out for you. That happening immediately will happen on another plane, Jannah. You desire and you got it straight. Now you want to reverse Jannah into this land here, it doesn't happen. Yeah, things will happen gracefully, gradually, everything will fall in place. So this is the attitude of a kafir. Rabbana atina fid dunya. He just asks, I want it, Allah Ta'ala, give it to me, give me the dunya. Give me and give me in the dunya. So he's asking for abundance. But he's not asking for the goodness. He's not asking for the inner satisfaction, the inner ease. So he's got everything, but minus the ease. He's got everything, but minus the peace. So outwardly he seems to be happy, but he doesn't find a deep fulfillment. I was explaining one person that a kafir normally complains that they don't have the peace of mind, no tranquility. Someone is going out in jamaat, and then he joins the jamaat and he says, for the first time in my life, I enjoyed such beautiful sleep. So he just had a small taste and Allah Ta'ala showed it to him what Islam has to offer. So now, the question is, why don't you find that full peace and that fulfillment? You know, you talk of an inner satisfaction, inner fulfillment. You don't want a void. You don't want a vacuum, want fulfillment. So why don't you find it? So the reason is obvious. You don't find that satisfaction. And the reason for you not finding that satisfaction is obvious. The reason is this. Imagine there's some children playing ball, right? And they're just kicking around. They're not heading towards the goals, one goal or the other. They're showing the tricks, keeping the ball up in the air for 1 minute, 2 minutes, and showing all the stunts, right? But they're not reaching for the goal. So what do you say is a waste of time? What are they getting out of this whole thing? What are you getting? And they will realize also that you're not getting anything out of this. So you're not getting at satisfaction and fulfillment because there's no goal in this. So the same applies to this world here. If you're just working, just that we earn some money, good food, good home, palatial home, etc., some holidays, and some home, some good food, and some material security, then you're not looking, you're not working towards a goal. When you're not working towards a goal, then you can't talk of finding inner satisfaction. You can never find it. You have to be working towards a goal to find that inner fulfillment and inner satisfaction. And the Muslim has got it. No matter what he is, but deep down his heart, he's got it. No, there is a goal. I'm working towards something. Some days ago, I was in Hawick. One brother was explaining that his old German white friend, he greeted him, "How are you, Brian?" So that Brian turned around and said, "Don't call me Brian, call me Ibrahim." So now he got a little bit shocked, shaken up. "Brian, now what happened in your life now? Just explain to me." So he says, "You see, in my youth, I hang around with Muslim boys. Now, I was comparing Muslim youngsters against non-Muslim, my type of people, white people, or non-Muslims, right? As they progressed in life, then they carried on. Their wrong ways, their dirty ways, their filthy ways, sleeping around, dancing around, clubbing around. Everything carried on, continued. Just that they will do it sometimes in a more sophisticated way. If it's zina, then they will do it in the club. But they will do the same thing. The person that doesn't have it, he'll do it a little bit openly, brazenly. And the one that's got the wealth, he'll do it with a little bit of sophisticated way. He'll do it. But the same wrong will carry on. But then I reflected, I compared these Muslim youngsters that I used to be hanging around with. And they were reaching 35, 40, and they're going in their lives. Then there was a U-turn. For some it was a gradual turn, and for some it was an abrupt turn. They just turned around. So I have seen them now as they're graying, becoming more conscious, more worried, coming to namaz, asking about some masla. You see them sitting a little longer in the masjid. Right? The clothing is changing. There's beards that are appearing on the hair, on the faces. Now I realize, no, there is a life after death. And this is what these people are preparing for. And we have got no end. We're working and working and working, enjoying. But we don't have an end. So there's no meaning to our life. There is a meaning to this life here. When I compared, I found there was a meaning. There was an end. And when I saw this, then really gave me some answers. It made me understand that there is a deeper meaning to life. It is not just what meets the eye. You know, in the Quran Sharif, normally the da'wat of a Nabi, he just calls people towards Allah Ta'ala and towards the obedience of a Nabi. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. That's the da'wat, right? But continuously when you reflect over those verses, then you find three nations, three groups, right? They were destroyed and the Nabi had warned them for some of the vice that they were involved in. One was Ad, one was Lut, alayhi salam, and the third was Shu'ayb, alayhi salam. So they were reprimanded, three groups were reprimanded for three different wrongs. One, أَتَّبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيْعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ. Everywhere, a high place, put up your landmark, some type of entertainment. Then you look at the people of Lut, alayhi salam, was about lust. No, there was no ceiling to that thirst of lust. There was no ceiling. Continued and carried on. Unlimited, uncontrolled, unregulated. And the third nation that were destroyed, where the Nabi had spoken to them apart from the da'wat, he had warned them, was the people of Shu'ayb al-Islam, أَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَزِنُوا بِالْقِسْطَاسِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. fraud and all type of wrongs commenced in their business dealings, in their dealings. So one was because of entertainment, too much of entertainment, and you take it at a different level. One is because of lust and uncontrolled, unregulated. And the other, the third, is because of fraudulent, wrong, impermissible, incorrect dealings. Right. Now, these three communities, these three people were destroyed, and the Nabi had warned them, apart from their shirk, he had warned them about their fraudulent dealings, he warned them about their lust, and them being overwhelmed, or them giving themselves to sports, giving themselves to entertainment, giving themselves to pastime. That became like the main goal, main focus in their lives. So, I commend this talk today that we all like ease. We like ease. And, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ Allah Ta'ala also wants ease. For us, He doesn't want, you know, sometimes, you know, deen is very difficult, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, right? Now it's a summer morning, and we have to get up at about 4 o'clock to make it in time for Fajr Namaz, or quarter to 4 at least, wuzu, pisab pani, whatever, and eventually come to the masjid. Quarter to 4, when everybody is fast asleep, we're just going to sleep at about 10, 11 o'clock, and we hardly slept, and then we must get up. So Islam is very difficult, right? But Allah Pak says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ That Allah Pak wishes ease for us. In this whole plan of Islam, He wants peace, He wants ease for us. But just that we can't understand, we cannot relate to the type of ease that Allah Ta'ala is talking about. Really, if you look at Islam, then it's just ease. It's peace and ease. You're going to meet a sick person, then you are going there to make things easy for him. La basa tahurun, inshallah. Not a problem. Inshallah, it's just a purification process. Now, purification process can have multiple meanings. One is, the sickness is on account of some infection, some filth that's in your body. And now that you are sick and you're lying down, all that dirt that's in your body will all be flushed out. So it's just a purification process. Right? So one is that meaning. And there's another meaning that maybe Allah Pak is putting you into a process to wash you out, to cleanse you. So there's a different meaning. But the sick person's mind will go towards, it's just a purification process. You're not killing the person before the time. Otherwise you come and come to the sick person and you don't know how to conduct yourself. No, it's wrong. It's not right. We don't know what to say and what not to say. Person lost someone and what to say on that occasion. You have to learn these things. Namaz is a faraz, but learn that namaz. Wuzu is a faraz, but learn that wuzu. We cannot say the sunnah, I'm just going to practice it. Learn that. Sometimes you don't know what it is and you become a problem for that person. You say things what you're not supposed to be saying. Now you're seeing that sick person, hey, what cancer. Hey, no hope, eh? No hope. I haven't seen one person just now. So, you got no hope. So, I suppose people that were meeting him, they were giving that type of story, no hope, no, read your kalima and all that, inshallah, you go peacefully. That type of story they were giving him. And you have our people now, they don't behave in the right way. Sometimes you go and visit that sick person, one person is sitting on the headside, on Quran Sharif, reading Yasin. Now, you should be doing all this thing here, but now, what are you doing with this person? You make him feel that there's no hope, you're going to go at any time. And the way of Nabi Sassam is to give the person hope. Don't push him down further. La basa tahurun. Inshallah, such a beautiful way. Such a beautiful way to, whatever is decreed will happen. You're not going to expedite this journey of life. It will happen at the destined time. But you don't kill the person before his time. Now, we don't know what to say, and we say the wrong things, as though the person is alive but he's dead. So, words that will make the person relaxed, you feel comfortable. By the same token, when you're going to visit someone who's lost a dear and a near one, then there's a way to go and conduct yourself at that time. One person, one youngster, this is a problem with youngsters, right? They just said one hadith, one Quran Sharif ayat, you can apply the thing. Whether it's filling, whether it's conforming to the context, not in the context, nobody is seeing that. So this youngster, he saw that, alright, there's a group of musallis going to visit. The man lost his child, small little child. Let's go and pay our condolences. So he heard it, alright, told that, uncle, you know, Allah Ta'ala tujhe ni'mal badal naseeb kare. Youngster, don't worry. Not the end of the world. Allah will give you a better replacement. Your first child, you lost it. Inshallah, try. Allah will give you something, a better replacement. So the youngster said, no, I learnt it. I know what to do. In the meanwhile, one old chacha, 92 years of age, he died, leaving his widowed wife, 89 years of age. So he said, no, I learnt it now to do. Now that old auntie, she's there, with the children about 70 years of age. And this youngster says to that auntie, don't worry, Allah will give a better replacement. Now, is that the right thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? You have to learn these things here. The Quran, you have to learn it, the Hadith, you have to learn it, and learn the context. We don't learn the context, and we just want to come to our own conclusion, we create confusion. One month or 2 months back, one doctor came and he's asking about a hadith that appears in Bukhari Sharif. He said, no, I see a clear contradiction now. Can you just explain to me? I asked him, just explain to me. He said, alright, there's one hadith in Bukhari Sharif where a person died in death and Nabi Sallam refused to participate in the janaza namaz. He said, yeah, it is in Bukhari Sharif. But he says, there's another hadith that comes also in Bukhari Sharif. When Nabi Sallam says, "Man taraka daynan fa'aliyya," anybody leaves behind a debt, then I will take responsibility for it. Now, on the one hadith, Nabi Sallam is saying, I am not going to join the janaza namaz. And the other, Nabi Sallam is saying, don't worry, I will take care of the debt. Apparent contradiction. Right? Here, Nabi Sallam doesn't want to perform the janaza namaz. Want to have nothing to do with it. You people carry on with the janaza namaz, I got nothing to do with it. And the reason is obvious. The reason is, for us to get a clearance in the hereafter, you don't need only a passport, but you need a passport and you need a visa also. When you got passport, you don't have visa. Can't work. You can't go through the immigration. They'll stall you. Go back, go and fetch the visa and come. They'll send you back. So you can't get a clearance. Exactly the same, you need to get the hukukul la right and hukukul ibad right. Now you got the hukukul la right and you don't have the hukukul ibad right. As though you got the passport, but you don't have the visa. How will they give you that entry? How will it work? Like you need to fix up the passport, you need to fix up the visa as well. You need to fix up hukukul la, hukukul ibad as well. Rights of people and rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both you have to sort it out. Now you just did one, then it's an incomplete job. When it's an incomplete job, then how are you going to get the clearance? Our ulama-i kiram, buzurgan adin, I always think that they're an excellent example. They're an excellent example. And if you saw someone practicing the hadith, you will see it in their lives. But just to think about it, and with an unbiased mind, we have seen them, most of the people that I talk about, I've seen, and I've seen their lives. Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was the principal of Mazahir Ulum Saharanpur. So I seen him towards the late part of his life. He must have been over 80 at the time. One of the few people who could impromptu, he can talk, he can say poetry, whether in English, whether in Urdu, and in Arabic. Poetry, just impromptu. Talk to him of a subject, and he could talk in poetry. So with all his ilm, all the magnificence and excellence, but a very simple person. He was returning home on occasion with a group of his students, etc. And in India you have this bangi, right? The bangi's work is to collect all the filth, the sewage, etc., to collect all that. Now he's got that filth and he's coming across the depot. As well as comes near the depot, he just throws it down. When he throws it down, some of the splashes gets to one of his students, Asadullah Sahib Rahman's students. So Mu'asadullah Sabr Ahmad, naturally, he got upset. And he said, "Ankh nahi hai, zara dekh karke karna chahiye. Peena hai khatam ho gayi kya?" So he shouted him, "You don't have eyes, you're blind. Can't you see what you're doing?" So he shouted him. Anyway, not even an hour passed, Mu'asadullah said, "No, I overdid it." He didn't deserve that type of a treatment. Although it was a little bit of a miscalculation on his side, but I didn't need to shout him to that extent. Now Mullah is going red and blue. He is extremely perturbed that I used this one two words. Now, we need to look in retrospect how many times it happens that we are owing people thousands, millions, and then we just shut off our minds completely. No, it's all right, Allah Pak will make maaf. That Allah Ta'ala that exists hereafter exists in this world. Your passport is not right. You don't get an entry. Allah Pak is the control, but He's not allowing it. So like it is impossible here, they also you're going to have a problem. These rites have to be finished. Mullah is worried. He is extremely perturbed. Now, the students can see that Mullah, something went wrong, and Mullah is not at ease. Mullah explained to this what happened. They said, "No, that person deserved this type of a treatment. How can he be carrying on like this?" I said, "No, I don't get any type of comfort from your statements. I need to go back to him." They came back. He finished his duty and he was gone. Now the whole night, Mullah couldn't sleep. That little bit of that word that he used that was not appropriate. And he's so concerned. Now this can only happen to the person, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. You know, yesterday morning, I was counseling one woman, you know. Unfortunately, it's happened that our youngsters are going to high school, university, boys, girls are going, right? And the amount of these high school students or their parents, the amount of complaints that you get from them, approximately, to be very safe, at least over 60% are involved in some type of an illicit relationship. When I ask them personally, when they come and complain, you know, everybody is doing it. Everybody. So that gives them the license to do it. So at least 60% go the full way, and the other 35%, they don't go full way, but at least halfway they have gone. Now, we are still sending them to the lion's den. Meanwhile, this woman is complaining to me that her son is involved in a relationship. How far? No. This, before the assembly, they hug and they kiss and they carry on. So this is the extent. So I told the Rapa, "See, I feel the right thing is, you must call that girl's mother, parents also, because if it was your daughter, and this was happening behind your back, you would have felt cheated. So it is someone else's daughter, like your daughter requires to be respected, right? Then that person's daughter also needs to be respected. Now, things are happening behind the back, you know about it for over a year, but she doesn't know she's in the dark. I ask you, is that fair?" No, they feel that because such a great number of persons are doing this, so that makes it legal. My one friend, he was an ex-lecturer at the University of Natal. So he was in the madrasa some days back. So he says, "I went to Pick and Pin to do some of my shopping. As I was leaving, so I saw an old white lady and she was struggling with a trolley. So I said, 'It's an old woman, or let me go and help her.' So I pushed a trolley and brought her near her car, offloaded whatever she needed to be offloaded. Then as she sat in the car, she said, 'Son, I want to share something with you. You made me feel happy, but let me share something with you.' She saw him perhaps in the Muslim garb. So she says to him, 'You know what? I want to share one thing with you.' Outwardly, she seemed like an Afrikaner woman. Afrikaner woman, there is this of anything. Jo kuch magaj mein aata hai, sab kuch suna denge. So she says, "You know, we were a very conservative community. There was a lot of respect. There was a lot of discipline. There was a lot of understanding within our community up until 60 years ago. There was a lot of understanding, united. Everything was working very smoothly. But 60 years ago, when we began to take a woman out of the house, go and work, go and get educated, get certificates, become graduated, become some woman of degree, right, and become a professional person, then we saw that the whole home unit is cracking down. Children are becoming delinquent. Women are becoming disobedient. There's no control. There's no family life any longer. Fights upon fights. Disputes upon disputes. And we can't just get a closure. Fights are carrying on 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. And we can't get a closure to these things here. But she says, I'm also an educated woman. And my mind took me, let me go and study history, where it started from. So I saw it from this point. Now the teaching of Nabi Sam can't go wrong. We can go wrong, our understanding, our reasoning can go wrong. Nabi Sam made it clear to Ali radiallahu anhu, everything that relates to outside the home, Ali radiallahu anhu, you handle that. Everything that's within the home, oh Fatima, my daughter, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, you take care of that. But when you're going to reverse the roles, or make them both equal and identical, then we're going against the teaching, the administration of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When the administration is going to be off, then everything is going to go off. That is why I say, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, the easiest thing is just listen and carry on. Don't argue it. Don't you ever try and contest it and debate it and argue the thing in your mind. Some last week or so, so there was a Mulana that came, you know. He's also, mind is very active. This ishkal and what jawab and, you know, there can be a doubt here and the doubt, this is a jawab for this doubt. So very active his mind is. So when you constantly debate in your mind, then you're going to be loaded with doubts. So anyway, he came in, said, oh, close the door. I want to share one dream with you. So I didn't realize that the dream will be so important that he needs to close the door also. Anyway, so he said, I need to close the door, right? So I saw the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says first. All right. I was very happy with that. And thereafter the scene changed. I saw my wife. Then I'm looking at her breast. Right. He wants to know what's the meaning. So I tell him, all right, the first part of it is revive the sunnat, right? Seeing the body, in other words, the sunnat are dying, so bring it up now. Revive the sunnat. But the second one, so I say, I feel very ashamed to tell you, but now you ask me, so let me tell you. And I feel ashamed to tell you as well, because it's shameful, but there's a lesson behind it, and because of the importance of the lesson, I'm sharing this with you. So I explain to him, see, you saw this, why this is an answer to your mind. Your mind has got a lot of doubts, right? It's an answer to the doubts that are in your mind. How it's an answer? I ask you, right, that part of the body, every man is interested, right, in a halal way. He'll fondle, do whatever he does. But you ask him, is there any logical proof for you to be excited with that? Any logical proof? Or you do it without any reasoning. Play with that area. You enjoy that area. But is there any logic in that? Anything logical. There's absolutely no logic. You just love that thing without any reason. Right? If it was a thing to be excited about, then you have seen animals doing it. Animals don't do it, right? So there's no logic behind it. I'm not saying it's haram. I'm not saying don't do it, right? But you are doing it just because of love. So exactly the same. The Quran and the Hadith, just do it because of love. Don't use your reasoning. That's the safest way against shaitan. Safest way to die. I just love Allah Ta'ala. I love His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I love Islam. Whatever they say, I just love it. I don't need to have any reason. I say that's the safest way to die as a Muslim. Safest way. Keep saying it. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rasula. Say it. Say it in English. Say it in whichever language. But I love Allah Ta'ala. I love His Rasul. I love Islam. I don't need to have any reason. If it is the word of Rasulullah, I'm going to do it. If it's the word of Allah, I'm going to do it. I don't need to have any logical reasoning and proofing and justification. Nabi Sam said it, let me do it. He said, the women stay at home, let them stay at home. A simple thing, Mawlana read, Isha Namaz, right? 4 rakats. First 2 rakats he read aloud, right? What's the logical reasoning? Can you give me the logic? Why you read 4 rakats, not 5 rakats? Why not 3 rakats? Why the first 2 rakats you read it loudly? Why the last 2 softly? Any logical reasoning? Allah Pak's Nabi said, do it like this, Miraj, do it. That's called love. That's called loyalty. That's called faithfulness. But you want to go and find out, you will be left with doubts and you will have no reasoning. So love Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallam without any proof. Say Shaitan also, say that 101 times, I just love it, I just accept it without any proof. I don't need to have any proof. That's called love. If you are gone to Cape Town, Jamaat for example, and you just phone your wife, you know, and she says, no, I like to have a bouquet of flowers, you know. So you tell the florist, just deliver this 2000 rose, send it here, this address. Will you just phone and get that thing delivered? Or you'll ask her, you know, what is the need? Give me some 10 proofs, 10 reasons, you know, for this. Because after 1 week, this is going to go in the kachara box. Right? It's going to go, it's going to throw it out. So 1,000 rand, 10,000 rand I'm going to spend like this. Just use your brain. It's the right thing to do. Will you have that approach? You're not going to have that approach. You're going to do things without reasoning. And if you're going to be countering, that means that love is not right. They talk of a miserly person. I'll come back to this. One thing is coming in my mind after the other. Maybe it's a need. See, from the emails that I get, people have doubts. All the time. If you got your iman right, the foundation is right. Everything you can put afterwards. But get that iman right. They talk about a bakhil, miserly person. So he's got a nice diamond ring. So his friend sees him, you know. You know, just pass the ring to me. It'll be a yadgar, a memory. You know, whenever I see the ring, hey, my friend. He's a bakhil in the meanwhile. For him to part away from the diamond ring, first of all, from a ring is difficult. And a diamond ring, how much more difficult? Now he's scratching his head, this person, friendship for friendship's sake, you know. Pass on the ring to me. So he said, no, what you do? I won't give you the ring, but whenever you see your finger bare, you know, you must think. So that's not a friendship. It's not a friendship. It's not muhabbat. Muhabbat, you do things without reasoning. You spend without reasoning. When one friend of mine was going for Umrah, so they came across that Dubai airport. So his wife just looked at the set of jewelry. 2 million rand. Darling. And the next morning it's bought. Now there's no reasoning. What's he going to get out of the whole debt? What are you going to get? You're just going to pay zakat on the 2 million, right? But what are you going to get? Where else are you going to get? No faida. You look at business sense, no business sense. But that love will make you do things. So this love is the thing that is deficient in our system. Mawlana Mazhar Sahib speaks about it, Rahmat Barakatum. Ask for this. Ask for the love of Allah Ta'ala. He will say it in a different word, but I'm just simplifying it, the love of Allah Ta'ala. So you feel attracted. Whatever it is, but you feel attracted. Fajr namaz, Zuhr namaz, Isha namaz. But you feel an attraction. This morning I was doing a tafsir, you know. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. Some portion of the night, stand up in salah. So this can happen, whether it's in midsummer or midwinter, it can happen. Every night it can happen. But what is required is a little bit of discipline in our ways. Right? Our parties and all that, our parties, brides and all, can't we just bring it before Isha? Isha we read in our masjid. Do the parties, the bride, everything before Isha namaz. Isha namaz, we're reading it in our masjid and straight home. I'll tell you, everything will work well. The Fajr will go well, the Hajjud will go well, the morning Quran Sharif. The Quran al-Fajr, at that time you're supposed to be reading Quran Sharif. Now, for that scraps of meat, the Tahajjud is gone, the Quran Sharif is gone, the Fajr Namaz is gone. I say, is it worth that? Is it worth the bargain? Scraps of meat against Fajr, against Tahajjud. A little bit of socializing against Fajr, against Tahajjud, against the Quran Sharif. That was a prime time of a Muslim. And everything is gone. Why? Just because of scraps of meat. Socializing with some friends. Is it worth it? So we're coming back to that person who brought that hadith, you know. So I told him, see, Dr. Saab, I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to offend you. Right? But I'm telling you something that will be better for your whole life. I ask you not to go into the self-study. There are ulama, Overport, got Mawlana Naeem Saab here. Other places, Chatsworth, you got madrasa there. Everywhere there's some ulama there. Right? So you want to study, nobody's stopping you, but go and have a guided study. not a self-study. Because today you came and asked me, right? You had the courage to come and ask me. Tomorrow if you load through the doubt and your mind is not just getting at ease, what are you going to do? So you go and have a guided supervised study. Go with a supervised study, they will tell you, alright, this hadith, this is what the meaning, this is the meaning of this hadith, this is where it fits in, this is where this fits in. But you're doing a self-study and you want to have answers for everything, you're going to create confusion in your mind. So I ask you to take a promise that you're not going to do this self-study. It's alright. I said, now I'll give you the explanation of the hadith. The first hadith which says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam refused to do the janazah namaz, the beginning of Islam, when the public treasury didn't have a lot of wealth. Baitul Mal didn't have a lot of wealth. When they didn't have a lot of wealth, now this person died. He's going. Now how am I going to bail that person out? He died leaving out a debt. I'm talking about Mawlana Asadullah Sahab, you know, in between. So Mawlana Asadullah Sahab, rahmatullah, the whole night he can't sleep. They told him, no, you know what, this person comes and carries out this duty around Asr. So Mawlana took the time, came there, Asr, please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, forgive me. So now, person now, untouchable in India, they call it, right? They feel nothing of themselves. Oh, you got the right to tell me this. I messed it up. And you, no, you must tell me that you forgave me. So now, since it's your instruction, so I tell you that I have forgiven you. Mawlana took about 100 rupees and gave as a compensation. For that time, when we were there, for that time to give 100 rupees is like that person's whole salary. But this is that hukukul ibad, you know, the rights of people. Small rights, big rights, whether it was one statement, whether it was second, two statements. But are we concerned about it? The rights of people. So I explained this person here, that first hadith is about the time when the public treasury didn't have so much of wealth. So now, this person has died with an unsettled debt, how am I going to settle that debt for him? And this person, this at a later stage, when there was quite a bit of wealth in the public treasury, the Baitul Mal, now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَن تَرَكَ دَيْنًا فَعَلَيَّ. If someone leaves behind a debt, then I am responsible. Bring it to me, I'll be responsible. This was at a later stage. Now we need to see what applies to us. If we are dying, is there anyone to settle our debts? So this fraud, false promises, breaking of contracts, breaching, etc. Islam speaks a lot about it. One whole surah Allah Ta'ala commences with this. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, awfu bil uqood. All contracts, engagements, undertakings. Then you need to honor these things. It's not a small thing. Innal ahada kana mas'ula. That's something that's going to be answerable for this. So anyway, our topic got left now. I supposed to be speaking about man arada al-akhirata wa sa'alaha sa'iha. But I will just touch on just one aspect because my time is already over now. So for this akhirat plan, akhirat to be easy, Allah Pak is showing, or what must you do? So in brief, there's 4 points, right? Maybe more Naeem Sahib can elucidate the whole thing later on. One is the intention must be right. One is there must be an effort. وَسَعَالَهَا سَعَيَهَا. And the effort must be the effort of the hereafter, not just any effort. For the effort of the hereafter will be that is recognized by the Quran and the Hadith. سَعَالَهَا سَعَيَهَا سَعَيَ الْآخِرَةِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And then he must have iman. Because iman is a precondition for any deed. Whoever died, whether it was Mother Teresa or Mandela, whoever, whatever humanitarian works in it. But if it is minus iman, there's no show for you in the hereafter. All the roads are closed. If you didn't recognize my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the roads are all blocked upon. No matter who it was, what humanitarian work he's done. But he didn't recognize Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, didn't accept Islam. Everything is locked up. So the first point, let's just touch the first point. Maybe I leave something with you to think about. The intention must be right. When arad al-akhirah, don't let that intention be contaminated. Some years ago in Bombay, the station master spotted a family. The family was a little bit perturbed. Station master gone sometimes in Jamaat, learned some things. So he saw a Hindu family, and that Hindu family was a little bit perturbed, quite perturbed. So the station master in India, those that lived in India, you know, the station master has a lot of authority, a lot of power. So as he approaches the family, so the husband says, he had the decency not to talk to the woman. He turned his face away, not looking towards the woman. He brought the husband on the side. What happened? So he cried and he says, my wife's father has died and we need to attend the funeral. The journey is 12 hours from here. The next train will come after 24 hours on the same line. So we will miss the whole thing. And she will curse me for the rest of my life. It was my father's funeral and you didn't take me. What do we do? So he signaled the train, stop. It was supposed to be moving in about 2 minutes. He signaled them to stop. He worked out a ticket, gave it to them, took the cash, 200 rupees or something at that time. That time was quite cheap. Took the 200 rupees. He took the luggage on his own head, like a coolie would do. Right? He threw the luggage on his own head, porter would do. And he gave them a seat, everything. Other man, that Hindu is looking, and he pulled out 1,000 rupees as a token of appreciation. That nobody would have done this for me. Stopped the train, took the luggage himself, tore out a ticket, gave it to me. So this Muslim porter, he says, sorry for using the word coolie, because we're used to that word in India. I just used that word. All right. So this Muslim conductor, see this Islam and a wali, everybody can become. Whether it's a porter, whether it's a businessman, whether it's an alim. But that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in wherever you are, that consciousness, that awareness of Allah Ta'ala, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتًا. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're going to be standing before Him one day. No matter what's your position, but you have got that fear that you're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. That's the thing that is lacking in the ummah. So when he offered him the 1,000 rupees, the Muslim conductor says, I'm sorry, Musalman, apni neki ko bechta nahi. A Muslim doesn't sell away his nekis. I did only for Allah Ta'ala, so I don't want, let this not be contaminated. Let there be no pollution. I've done it. I got an opportunity. You don't get these opportunities all the time. I need to get my jannat done. I've done it purely for Allah Ta'ala. I don't want any contamination. In fact, in our relationship with our families, we want the same. You got married today, right? And tomorrow your wife tells you, you know, darling, I'll give you 20 hours. 20 hours, so I'll be very fair with you. 4 hours I will give to my ex-boyfriend. I say, is it one? Is it acceptable? When you are not prepared to accept shirk, then how can Allah accept it? And أَغْنَ shuraka, I am totally disinterested in any partnership, Allah says. I don't want any partnership. Do it for me and purely for me. Allah Bakhtu Fi Nasib. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulil Kareem. وعلي وأصحابي أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين وما آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين